Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood, to your favorite podcast, the Super Mama's Podcast, with your favorite co-host, Paulina and Bricia Lopez. What is up, Bricia Lopez? La rubia superior.
La rubia peligrosa.
La rubia peligrosa, la rubia superior.
I want to say that it's funny that you call me Bricia Lopez because both of my children now refer to me as Bricia Lopez, both first and last name.
Well, can I tell you something that's going to make you happier?
Oh, my gosh.
My kids are supposed to have a project for their...
Stop right now. Don't even continue. We'll cry if this is going where I think it's going to go.
Yeah. And so I was like, who can be like someone that you can look up to, a hero? Sixta said me.
Aww.
And then Sabina was like, no, someone more like Tia Bricia. And I was like, yeah, I was like, totally. You can dress up as Tia Bricia.
You can have a blonde wig.
Yeah, put on your apron and go to school and just say that you're Tia Bricia. She's like, yeah, that would be great. So I was like, oh, yes. We are setting a good example for our children, Bricia.
Aw.
They consider us community heroes.
Aw, that is just, I'm going to cry.
Well, happy belated. How was your birthday?
Wonderful. Oh, also Agustina says, mi nombre es Agustina Bricia Lopez. I'm like, what?
Oh. It's so crazy how when you and I talk about Agustina now, I'm like, what is she, like 10? You know,
she is giving me... She's going through sleep regression now. The days of her going to bed at 6 p.m. when and done are over. We're transitioning her into a bed, and it is that girl. I started bedtime yesterday at 6:30. She went to bed at 8. And obviously, I'm in a really good place right now, and I feel very at ease. I haven't screamed at my children. I don't even remember last time I screamed at my children, which is so telling of just where I am in life, I think.
I think it's telling her where you were.
No.
You're back to normal.
I mean, I'm in a good place right now. And yesterday, you know, Eduardo and I also had Eddie, my son, and I had a little like back and forth, but it was more of a conversation. Obviously, he gets very emotional, but I was just so proud of myself for not losing my shit, which I think I have in the past, you know? But I think all of us can relate, right? Of just like, screaming at our kids. Yeah, I haven't screamed at my kids and I don't even remember last time I did. So it's been good. I'm good.
In my case, I don't know what screaming means because everyone screams in my house. So what does it mean to scream at the kids? They all scream to each other.
But that's hilarious.
It is. Birthday season is done. I'm so excited. So happy. Finally, it's done. I put away all my birthday stuff. I'm like, we'll see you next year.
No, I'm going to see you at my house tomorrow. I have a birthday celebration. And my girlfriend was telling me yesterday, she's like, I don't think you've ever celebrated your birthday.
I don't think so. I haven't been a person that celebrates like that.
She's like, you know what the last time I had a birthday party was? At Vulcan.
Oh my God. That's what? No, that's a long 15 years ago?
Maybe 20 years ago when someone did a surprise birthday party for me. And I still remember the dress I was wearing. Like, it was that long ago.
Are you going to buy yourself a dress?
No, I'm not going to buy myself a dress. My friend was like, what are you going to wear? I'm like, I don't know, girl. Jeans and a t-shirt. I'm in my house. She's like, no, you have to dress up. It's your birthday. I'm like, what? My other friend was like, what's a dress code? I'm like, why is this? No, just come over. It's not like a thing.
No, last night I was looking online. I was like, what am I going to wear to this dinner? I was thinking about what am I going to wear to your dinner.
But see, now I'm like, should I get silverware? Like, I have nothing. I'm like, come over. Like, it's not a big, this is the first time I celebrate my birthday. Like, I haven't celebrated my birthday with
girlfriends. That's what you need to do. You need to put on the invite. Come as you are. Because everybody's like, oh, we're going to Bricia's birthday. Oh my God, we're going to have to like dress up and all these things. You need to put dress code, come as you are. Because I literally was like, should I get a new fit for the birthday? Like, last night I was going through thinking about what I'm going to wear for your birthday. I'm sure everyone is. Except you. You're gonna wear jeans and t-shirt.
I'm gonna be like in my I'm gonna be like in my athleisure, just like in my home. I'm gonna be like in my home robe. I'm like, hi guys, welcome to my house. I'm in my robe. I just got out of the bath. My hair's still wet.
I mean, it all depends. It all depends, right? If you're gonna have roast for all of us, I'm down. Let's do it.
No,
all-
no.
Is it gonna be a mani pedi? Is it gonna be like a mani pedi thing? Is it gonna be a spa theme?
Oh my God, stop. There's no theme. My girlfriend, honestly, my girlfriend's coming over to make a paella. She's going to make two major paellas for us. And that's all I have. I know that I said bubbles and paella. I'm like, I haven't bought champagne. I'm just going to call you. I'm just going to tell you, what do we have at the restaurant? Like, can I take something? I'm like, can you guys buy something for me? Can you guys bring it to me? I'm like, I need to get ice. Like, I also have an event in the morning, so I'm like, I don't have time to prep. Whatever. I'm just like, it's gonna be a bunch of girls drinking champagne, eating paella. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be
fun, having fun, which is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And actually, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about going tomorrow, having a girls' night out, having fun, because that's what life is all about, right? Like having fun and celebrating life.
Yeah, for sure.
Como dijera mi paisana Frida Kahlo, viva la vida.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Actually, talking about moms having fun, we have an amazing guest today on the show who really knows how to have fun, who writes about moms having fun unapologetically. And we had the most amazing conversation. We are so sad that you missed it, Bricia.
I am so sorry. You know what my new thing is right now? I'm going to continue this until the end of the year. I should continue for the rest of my life. I'm putting my children above anything else. I think that for a long time, there was a lot of career choices I would make, and it was a lot of things. And I think we're all, whether you're a full-time mom, and I know your children always come first, but there's always things that like, oh, you know, I have to do activities, I have to do this, I have to do that. This is what I envy about moms who are moms full-time, that they're able to give their children just all the attention and all the time and really nurture them. And for me, when I look at my kids, I want to show up for them. I want to be able to take them to soccer practice. I want to be able to go to their school stuff. And there's so many moments I missed because I was traveling so much through the summer. And right now I'm saying no to a lot of things. And I want to, you know, my son had a thing at school today and I wanted to make sure I was there for him. And really, like, you know, he's doing soccer. And I realized, like, my kid doesn't have a thing. I don't know what the thing is going to be, but I need to find that thing with him and really support him in any way I can. And having that open communication. And another girlfriend of mine, when I were having the same question, we're having the same conversation. How are we going to compete with these kids who have full-time moms? Like, how are my kids going to compete with another kid whose mom is there with them all the time and who takes them to all the practices and takes them to all the things and does all the activities? How is this going to work? You know, so I'm trying to design my life that way. No, and you know, I'm so thankful that I have help. I have a wonderful nanny who helps me a lot, and I need to use her more, and being okay with if I'm not there for the activity, at least he's going somewhere.
Yes.
So I think that that's the best thing. I don't want to put the pressure all on myself, but I think that I need to just, one of the things I've realized this past year and a half is I can't do things on my own, and I have to be okay with asking for help and allowing other people to do things for me. So I think that I need to really find a way to have my kids do activities, even if I'm not taking them, for them to do it.
100%. I agree with you. I was actually having this conversation yesterday I'm part of a group of women that are taking a leadership program with the James Deere Foundation. And the whole conversation that we had yesterday was about that, about why is it that we feel not productive when we're with our kids, right? And so they were saying how even being with your kids, that's really productive. That's way more productive than doing other things. So this conversation is ongoing. All women are having all these types of conversation about how do we balance? And that was what we actually talked about today with Natalie, because she wrote a beautiful piece about mom shaming when moms are out there trying to live life and have fun. We're just trying to balance our whole life here. So yeah, I love this conversation with Natalie, and she's always so much fun to be around. So today on the show, we have Natalie Alcala, who is a Latin American writer, community consultant, and creative entrepreneur. She was born and raised in Los Angeles. Natalie first made her mark on the industry as a fashion tastemaker, managing Racked LA as its senior editor and freelancing for a variety of noteworthy publications. She's currently a frequent contributor to The Hollywood Reporter and has written viral essays for Harper's Bazaar and Business Insider. In 2004, Natalie launched Fashion Mamas, the first and leading members-only community for dynamic and diverse mothers who work in creative industries, which we are soon to be part of, Bricia. So without further ado, enjoy our conversation, my conversation, because Bricia wasn't here, with Natalie Alcala. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show again, Natalie. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I am better because you and I were just having this conversation offline about like how everything just seems upside down and everything is just crazy and all over the place. But I think like this space that we're holding and yeah. It could be a good energy. So I'm excited to change the energy of the day. And I'm really excited to have you here again. It's been a while. It's been a minute since you've been on the show. And a lot of things have happened since then. So I'm really excited to dive in. Before we start, and for those super mamas that for some weird reason don't know who Natalie Alcala is, can you please remind us all the greatness that you do, who you are, who you live with, your babies, anything? Just tell us all things, Natalie.
First of all, you're so sweet. And I think it's literally been since 2015, 2016, since I was on the pod. So much has happened. Thank you. I'm Natalie. I'm the founder of Fashion Mamas. In December, we're going to be celebrating our 9th year in business, which is wild. I have 2 babies. Diego's 9, which is wild. He's almost my height now. And Rio is 5, Rio Rose. And in addition to running Fashion Mamas day to day, I am a freelance writer for The Hollywood Reporter. And I also am an essay writer, I would say. I've spilled my guts with Harper's Bazaar, Business Insider, and I write the longest captions on Instagram because when I'm not sharing my words and getting paid for it, I'm just sharing it because I can't shut up.
You and I both, girl. You and I both. I love to. I always tell people whenever they invite me to speak or something, I'm like, but make sure you keep me timed. Because I can talk forever.
Exactly. I mean, I literally got on my report card when I was in elementary school, talks too much. And I always say that that's a superpower. And that ended up being an actual precursor to what I get paid to do. So when my son gets a B+ or something on his report card or he gets any kind of feedback, I just said, we're going to use these tools because they might make you shine one day.
You know what? I love that. I never heard that before. And I really love that because those are markers for kids. And those sometimes carry a lot of pressure. I have a 12-year-old now. I said 11 yesterday and she got really upset. She was like, I'm 12. I'm not 11. And I was like, okay, sorry.
She's a tween. That's a tween. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, it's been like 3 days since you're 12, but okay. So I have a 12-year-old now and I realized like how stressed she gets over school. In her school, we have I don't remember what it's called right now, but like they have a grade, but then they can change it to the year. I don't know, master grading. So, but I like that. I think when we read the comments that the teacher says, we're just going to change the language because I really do feel like what we speak over our children make a big difference, you know, and how they see and how they view themselves.
100%. And I feel like our children, especially in our culture, they carry generational traumas and anxieties that they're born with. And so I always say, when we do get frustrated with our 9-year-old, I think to myself, okay, at the baseline, he's already disappointed in himself. He already has anxiety. He's already worried about how we will feel. So how can we kind of disarm him and make him feel that it's okay to make mistakes? And it's okay to like act out because it's a precursor to how he is going to be as an adult. Like if he's kind of anxious in class or if he's kind of silly in class, he could be a showman when he grows up. He could love the stage one day. Like he's in a basketball league and that's how he kind of gets out his extra energy. And so yeah. I think as parents, instead of behave, be good in class, that is a sliding scale for every kid. Because some parent can be like just quiet and speak when you're spoken to in class. And that's good behavior to them. To me, that's not. To me, I'm like, make your voice heard, shine, don't let anyone dim your light. And I like when I see that my son, he corrects me sometimes, or he kind of interrupts to kind of add to it. I don't know, but I'm just kind of like, I love that he uses his voice. And I'm always during these parent-teacher conferences advocating. I'm just like, well, you know, the state of the world, there's just so much going on. And my son is just, he's just trying to show that he's processing everything that you're sharing. And history in LAUSD, they're only sharing one side of history. So at home, we teach him all sides of what has been happening in the world. And then I just think that sometimes I overdo it, but I'm just like his biggest cheerleader.
I love that. We have to be our kids' biggest cheerleader. And I bet you're definitely like the cool mom in the class.
Oh, man. Or like the woke mom or something.
The woke mom.
But at the end of the day, in addition to not defending, but more of just explaining my son's behavior, I also respect the teachers, their job. They have a job to do. So I do talk to my son about when you're in their room, when you're in their house, we're respecting their rules. Yeah. So I can only say so much.
Yeah, that's exactly what I tell my kids. And sometimes I also, you know, they say, well, how come my friend this? How come my friend that? And I'm like, well, you know, every house has different rules. And these are the rules that apply in our house. And every house has it. I'm sure every kid is like, my friend's house is cooler than mine. I always tell her, I'm like, I'm sure your friends think our house is cooler than theirs. But it's just different houses have different rules. And that's it.
Absolutely.
That definitely makes you the cool mom. And everything that you do is around cool motherhood, which I love, I love, I love. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the show again was a piece that I read that you wrote about the perception that people have towards moms that have fun. And I think that resonated so much with me. And I think recently, my sister's not here today, and she missed it. But
we love her.
I know, I love her. You know, she's getting there. But me, you know, we were talking about the fact that people say, oh, you know, women can be empowered and women can be this and women can be that. And we're like, yes, yes, yes. But when it really comes down to it, when you become a mom, people are like, well, you're supposed to be somebody completely different. And if you have fun or if you show some kind of like you let loose, then that automatically you become a bad mom. And I was like, ain't that some shit?
Right.
If it was the other way around, if it was a guy, if the males, it's completely different. Like the bias is so big and it's still there. And it's kind of sad, you know, it's super sad. So when I read your piece, I was like, that's so true. Like I've seen it. We've seen it many times. We've seen it more recently. And I'm like, what happened? I thought we were in this woman can do anything we want. But when it really comes down to it, we're criticized again and again for trying to be ourselves while also trying to be mothers.
So well said. Absolutely. And thank you so much for reading that piece. What was really funny, a backstory of that essay, was Business Insider was looking for a mom out there who can speak to being shamed for having fun. And so many women emailed me and they were like, Natalie, this is your story to write. And it was really funny. I was like, I don't know if I'm flattered or should feel a way that you guys thought of me first. But honestly, right away, I felt really honored that my message has been clear from the start. I've been very consistent in my unapologetic behavior. And the way I see it is, I've been thinking about this a lot, especially with the discourse going online right now and always, like when people have a hot take about something. I just feel that when I became a mom, when Diego was in my belly 9+ years ago, I was just like, I'm going to remix motherhood. I'm going to do it my way. I don't need a trophy. I don't need a gold star. I also don't need to be bashed for it. I'm just going to lead with my heart and what I feel that motherhood looks like for me. And so I was going to have fun with it. He went to Coachella with me when he was 6 months old. I wasn't going to stop having fun, but I also knew that maternal instinct would kick in. So I never was unsafe about both how I raised my children in my environment and how I behaved when I was representing them when they weren't with me. So when I took Diego, he had headphones on, and like he was written about in Women's Wear Daily about like the baby at Coachella, the party baby. And they were like, thank you, mom, for making him safe with the headphones and stuff. And I was just like, that was just like a little piece of showing that the maternal instinct was kicking in, even though this was a whole new world for me. I had never held a baby before I had my child. I was very much that like kids seem like hard work. Kids, ugh, that sounds so annoying. It's not for me. I'm going to be like Elizabeth Taylor, married to many men and traveling the world and just like, fuck that. But once I became a mother, it was an absolute blessing. And I just knew the only way that I could process this experience is if I did it my way. Years later, I continued to ingrain my children into my lifestyle. And my lifestyle meant playing and seeking joy and tapping into my inner child, because I am forever still healing wounds from when I was younger. And so I would never call it an immaturity. I would more call it that I am a kid at heart. I am forever wanting to play and seek joy because this world is hard. And I don't see any harm in that. My babies go to bed, then I leave, and then I play, and then I come home. We're like home by 9:30. And then I wake up with my kids, and I'm a loving person when I'm out in the world. There's no drama behind what I do when I'm dancing with my girlfriends. I love my women. And I come home to my husband, and I'm like a fun, invigorated mom. And then I can get back to work. I work hard and I play harder. And I really, truly am dumbfounded by the fact that there's any question or debate on that kind of behavior. Because even when I created Fashion Mamas, I created it because I felt shamed and I felt like othered, because I would go to the Mommy and Me music group in my work clothes. And my work clothes happened to be, I came from a showroom. So I'm dressed in my fit, my fashion look. And I don't give a hell if anyone is wearing sweats. I love that for them. We love athleisure. But it was like a double standard when I walked in the room and I was dressed up in my, you know how I am. And I didn't understand why I was othered for being different when I am not following the masses, but I'm not also shaming them. I don't even think about them once I leave, not in a negative way. I just mean, like, I just think all humans are out here trying to make it. That's all. It's not this big mission. It was just being me. And the fact that organically and effortlessly, I'm just being me, kind of like taking L's and taking the hate sometimes. And back in the day, now everyone's just so used to my antics. And they're just like, Natalie's going to do what she wants. And I do it for the mamas. There's a new mama born every day. And I do it for her, that she has someone to turn to.
Yes.
What's really, really fun and funny is whenever I have an event, this was another chunk of the essay that I had to, they gave me my word minimum and I could have written a book on this. And what's really funny is whenever my friends or even new members in my community, they come to an event, especially one of our evening events, and they're wearing their short skirt or their crop top or their highest heels and dusted those off for the night. They'll go up to me and they said, I feel kind of insecure wearing this, but I wore it for you because I know that you would cheer me on. And I was just like, I love that they feel like if they're not doing it for a man, they're doing it for me. And I love that for them. I'm just like, yes, girl, of course I'm going to cheer you on. I love seeing women light up because you go home and you know how hard this motherhood game is. So
it is.
Let them have their moments.
I mean, you know, your girlfriends are your best cheerleaders. Like, it doesn't matter. You show up and you're all insecure and the girls are like, you look great, girl. You look great. And you're like, oh, I do. I forgot. I don't know. When we become mothers, it's like for a long time. And I tell people, like, for the first year or two, it's so hard. You're getting so used to the changes in your body. Like, what's going on with my boobs? What's going on with this? I don't like me. I don't like myself. And even once women start getting out of that fog and they want to, like, just go out and live their lives, are we not supposed to do that? Are we supposed to always be like, oh my God, I'm suffering? No, I think not. The new generation of women, we do come from other generational trauma. And I think definitely, I don't know about you, but my mother was definitely part of the sacrifice generation. Like, we sacrifice ourselves for everyone.
Yes.
We sacrifice ourselves for our children. We sacrifice ourselves. And it's always like, but I sacrificed everything. And we're like, well, do we have to? Do we have to sacrifice ourselves? I think we can live in a different dynamic. We don't have to sacrifice ourselves. I think our children would be more fulfilled, happier. I mean, we're having this conversation about how you deal with your son now. And it's like, we can be different mothers. We can create different children if we break those generational patterns. And I think that sacrifice mindset where like the mom has to stay home and not go out and just be quiet and like, okay, I'm going to do everything for everyone. And then if I have time, which we never do, I'll have time for myself. And now the moms are like, well, can I have a little time for myself? Can I have a little bit of fun? And I'm like, I don't understand this double standard of no, you can't. Yes, you can be a fun mom, but you cannot have too much fun because then you become a bad mom.
Exactly. And then also, in addition to breaking some of those stereotypes, it goes without saying that, of course, I have boundaries around that. In addition to have boundaries around my family, sharing that mom needs some time. And sometimes my alone time is this really quiet, peaceful, wholesome self-care upstairs where I'm just having my bath and my candles. It's not always like I'm getting lit or something. I would say once a week or twice a month is when I have those social activities. And I also have boundaries around my friends. I'm never afraid because I feel very safe with my friends to share when I'm shut down and I'm antisocial. And it's just not one of those weeks I have a lot going on because it's not as fun to be outside at night when you have either a huge day the next day or a huge something coming up that weekend, or you're sad inside or you're stressed because you don't want to stress drink. You don't want to stress do anything. So when the stars align and we can go out and we can put on our cute outfit and we dance, it saves my life sometimes. Oh, it saves my mental health.
I go home happier. I get there and I'm like, hey, husband, I love you.
My husband encouraged me. It encourages those nights sometimes because I come home spicy and cute and it's just, it keeps the spark up. And I just think every mom, if they have the bandwidth and the capacity to do so, they should. But something I didn't share in the essay, again, I feel like it goes without saying, but I'll always break it down when I need to. The first 2 years, literally, of both children, even though I went to Coachella with Diego, my boobs were hurting. I felt not like my body. I needed to go outside. And I go every year. That's how I met my husband. That's the reason I went to that at Diego being so young. But for both kids, it took until 2 years for me to really feel like myself. It's not about getting the body back. It's more about the inside, my mental health. Because you get body dysmorphia, actually, if you look in the mirror and you just feel like shit because your hormones are going crazy. So it took a long time. It's not like, I don't know what everyone's stressing about. I don't know everyone feeling so down on themselves. I absolutely get it. I completely understand. And I have many bad days often. But I'm just sharing that as much as they share to journal and to yoga and to do the self-care beauty routines, I promise you some sweaty dancing with your girls is also self-care.
I'm all about that. I mean, I think everybody should be having fun and safe fun and everything. I feel like it's very interesting that, I mean, I encourage my husband to go out and have fun with his friends. And I'm like, you need to go and have like a social life. You need to let it out. You need to just decompress, do something, join a club. I don't know, find friends, right? And when we see a bunch of guys having fun out there, no one is like, what a bad dad. Look at that guy. He's such a bad dad. No one thinks twice. They're just like, oh, look, there he is having fun. So I think that's the part that is also like very interesting and the take that society still has towards women and men. You're a hard-ass worker. I'm a hard-ass worker. We work just as hard as our husbands. And why can we also deserve to have some fun? I do. I think like one of the things that keeps us together is that we still have fun together. And that's very important because you need to have fun together. You need to go out and have fun and smile and laugh and do all those things because life is serious. Life is very serious. And then routines and children, and it can get really depressing real fast. So in order to keep a marriage, a relationship going, you need to have fun. And part of having fun is having fun together and having fun separate. And I didn't really think about it, you know? I thought it was different until recently when all these things started coming up. And I know it started coming up because of the recent things on the news and couples like, oh, why is she having fun? That's a bad mother, you know? I know all of that. And I was thinking about that. And I was like, I didn't really realize that that's still happening. And then, you know, things that happen around closer to me that I started hearing things, and my sister and I were like, that's such a double standard. And we definitely wanted to talk about it because it's something that should be normalized. Like I said, it's part of a relationship. It's part of keeping your sanity. It's part of mental health. Of course, safely. We're not talking about going and like getting, you know, we're talking about like fun, healthy fun. And it doesn't mean that we are getting crazy. It just means that we're having fun and we're still human and we still feel and we still want to live life. You know, you said your daughter's 5. My daughter just turned 6 and that's it. She's the last one. I don't have any babies. You're still in the 5T.
Yeah.
I'm not even buying in the T's anymore. So for me, I think I'm finally getting myself back. I'm finally getting to know me again as a grown ass woman, as a wife. It's a whole new stage between my husband and I. And I think like we go through stages. Maybe the first stage of the babies is hard, but once you get to a point where you feel comfortable, you should have fun all the time. Because if not, what is life without fun?
Absolutely. And I think it's almost like I want to turn the mirror onto society or people that feel that fun is a bad word and fun is a derogatory word. I almost want to be like, what kind of fun are you talking about? Because the fun I'm talking about has to do with music and like dancing and dressing cute. And me and my girls hype each other up. It's not much deeper than that. But yes, what you were saying early on about how our parents made it like you get a badge of honor if you sacrifice and you struggle. I think we're the first generation to break that generational curse. I just think that we are living in a more modern way in a modern time, that when our children see us happy and they see us fulfilled and seeking our passions separate from them, they can know that mom and dad are human beings more than being just our supervisors, more than just our teachers. They're just like, they're a human like me and you. I was talking to a friend yesterday and we were talking about how when our kids are acting out, like God knows 5 years old is something else. I will say that. And my husband, he's traveling right now. So I've been with the kids solo for 7 days. By the way, shout out to single moms out there because I'm having a taste of it. And I'm like, what you do? You don't get to like hide. So I was having basically like a nervous breakdown quietly to a friend. And we were talking about how, because I like showed Diego my stress. I showed, and I'm not ashamed of that. I showed him. I told him, I'm really tired today and I'm really sad that you guys aren't helping me. And I'm cooking. I surprised you with your Halloween costume today. I surprised you with your new setup in your bedroom. And you guys are making me raise my voice, and that's not even who I like to be. And I really am disappointed that you guys don't see that helping me will make me happier and then it will make us have a happier night. And so I'm a little sad tonight, I have to tell you. And my friend, she was like, I talked to my son like that too, because we just need to tell them instead of I'm just mad. Because like my mom, she would give me the cold shoulder when she was just done with me. She was just like pissed. Yeah. And she would just like washing dishes, like, kind of mad. And I'm like, and then you think like, are you getting abandoned? You're like, am I like, do they love me still? And so with my son, I'm just kind of like, look, I'm feeling this way because I'm kind of sad the way that this night went. I had big plans for us. We were going to put up the Halloween decorations, but now I'm not in the mood, so we're not going to do it. And so I'm taking that moment away from us today. And he looked really sad and remorseful. And it's not like they're going to click and like tomorrow's not going to be just as hard. It's just that I just need him to know that I'm human and my feelings get hurt sometimes when my kids don't listen to me. It's my feelings getting hurt. It's not like I'm the disciplinary and you better listen to my rules and you're getting grounded when you don't. It's more like, I'm sad. I wanted to have a fun night with you guys. Instead, I'm raising my voice and look like the bad, mean mom. I look like the mean mom. Meanwhile, dad's living his life on this work trip. And even though it's work, I know that he's getting peaceful nights sleeping at night. And
he's on his own.
It's a different mood. And so just having that communication with our kids is really important, because if we humanize ourselves, they might cut us some slack. So because they know that we're not just the authority, you know?
They definitely do. I think I'm having deeper conversations with my 12-year-old. And I remember I told her the other day, parenting is really hard, Krista. It's really hard because I'm trying to be your friend. but I also have to guide you in life and I'm doing my best and I want to be your friend, but I also can't be like fully your best friend because I'm your parent. And it's so difficult. It's too much sometimes. And she looks at me and she said, I know, Mom, I know you're trying your best. And I'm like, oh, I know. Thank you for saying that, you know, because they know and they understand. And the more we communicate with them, you think that they don't get it. But now that my daughter's 12, I'm like, oh my God, she completely got everything that happened in the past 12 years. She got pieces and beats of things that happened over the last 12 years, you know?
But that's you. That's like a testament to your parenting because you've been communicating with her all along the way. Because me and my mom have just healed things. I'm 39. And she's just shared that day when I did that, it's because of this that was happening. And I'm just like, I appreciate that we're here now, but I hated you for a long time because I was mad that I felt misunderstood.
There's a lot of therapy behind me.
Exactly. I love her dearly. And I understand her struggle is different from my struggle. But I don't agree with keeping secrets from your kids. Because, I mean, obviously, there's a boundary there. There's things that they don't need to know. And I absolutely withhold those things, those grown things. But like, if I can share with him an emotional experience, I actually also ask my son for advice, even though I may know what I'm gonna do. Like we all do, we ask our friends for advice, and then we do the thing anyway. I like to ask Diego for what he would do because kids are so honest. They're like radically honest. And he'll just say like, Mom, that wasn't nice. I don't think that she was being a good friend to you or something like that. He like, and he's very honest with me. And I just like, you know what? If we did move more like children, just the like move with your heart, move with the logic, the instant in your gut, the visceral reaction that, you know, a child, they don't play, like they don't have time to manipulate when they're straight up. I think we'd be a lot more efficient with our time and our relationships.
I agree. Oh my God. Nadia, I would love, I mean, we could talk for hours though. Like I said, we need to give us time because if not, we'll talk for hours.
I know that's us. We need to go dancing.
You know? We do. Well, I want to know what is in the, I mean, you guys, you have so much going on with Fashion Mama. So please tell me what's happening, what's next. How can we support you? You know, how can we be a Fashion Mama? Can we be a Fashion Mama? I don't know.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You, first of all, you and Bricia absolutely need to be Fashion Mamas. You know who to call. So November 11th, Lucky 11/11, we are hosting our Cool Femme Fest. It's a holiday celebration. We had one in the summer and it was amazing. So we're having that in Hollywood. You can go to fashionmamas.com for more. And it's going to have music. It's going to have gifting. It's going to have activities. It's going to have holiday shopping. It's going to have free family holiday portraits. So you don't have to go anywhere.
Get that over with. Yeah,
you know, just like do it. I never do it unless someone props me up and takes the photo. Like I don't organize it. It's too much work.
Either.
And then separate from Fashion Mamas, I am launching a podcast. It's called LA Forever. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. I was raised in the Valley. And I used to be an editor for a publication called Racked LA, where I was the authority in LA about what's fashion and, you know, shopping and sales in LA. And I miss that role so much because I live and breathe it every day. I just don't get to share it as much as I used to. So that's going to launch early November.
That sounds like so much fun. And I love it.
Thank you. LA Forever. And then in addition to shining a light on local legends, I'm also going to share what's opening in LA, what's going on for families, what my stories are about LA, visiting my neighborhood and just talking to people that have special stories about LA because it's my love letter to my city.
Oh, I love it. Come visit the Galaguetza.
Yes. Yes. You know, we're going to do that. Done and done.
Putting that plug there. But no, I'm so excited. Looking forward. I want to listen.
Thank you.
I was 13 when I moved here, but LA is my heart. I always tell people, I'm like, LA is the best place to live. We complain and we say all these things, but LA is the best place to live. I don't think I would live anywhere else. So I'm really excited and congratulations.
Thank you.
On the new pod. And I'm super excited. And I'm going to put November 11 on my calendar because I want to be
there. You're coming.
I am coming, taking my children. I know, every time I go to one of your events, I'm like, these are the cool people in LA here. All the cool people in LA go to your event. But thank you so much for being on the show today with me, Natalie. I'm so sad my sister missed it. She sends you lots of love and kisses. And lastly, please tell the Supermamas, where can they follow you on social media? How can they find you, stalk you, read your essays, or everything that you're putting out in the world?
Thank you. So I think the place to see my latest and greatest is on Instagram at Natalie Alcala and also at Fashion Mamas. But on my Instagram at Natalie Alcala, I have a link tree and it has all of my many things I do. It has my Hollywood Reporter stories. It has my viral essays. It has my website. I also consult. And so, yeah, it has everything and everything. I wear lots and lots of hats. I have a lot of energy to burn, like my son, apparently. So
I always love your energy. I love having conversations with you. I can tell you that my day got better. I hope your day
gets better too. Thank you.
Yeah, my day got definitely better. And I'm looking forward for the rest of the day. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. I love seeing you shine. And I'm always here for you guys, too.
And we are back. I love this conversation with Natalie. It just gave me so much validation and just being yourself unapologetically. We need to have fun without feeling guilty and being ourselves unapologetically and taking our own decisions. I love this conversation with Natalie. So thank you all for being here today and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also at @_supermamas and in the face at @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love. And
see you next week. Supermamas!